The following is a paid announcement.
Retirement. It's a journey. You'll see peaks and valleys, fair weather and foul. You'll make new friends, but there will also be bandits along the way. So protect your money, but also your health, because this journey requires both. Whether you're still preparing, just taking your first steps, or have been on the path for years, welcome to Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher, where it's all about the health, wealth, and freedom you need to live life your way, all the way. Now, here's your host of Retirement Journey, Jeff Bucher.
Good Sunday morning. This is Toledo's News, Weather, and Traffic Station, 1370 WSPD, and you're listening to Retirement Journey. And I'm your host today, Kevin Bucher. I'm filling in for my brother, Jeff Bucher, like I've done so many times over the course of my lifetime. You know it, and I know it. Our government has made trillions of dollars in promises it must keep, and some experts say the only way that they're going to be able to deliver is to double our tax rates. In his book, The Power of Zero, author David McKnight lays out a step-by-step plan on how you can get to the 0% tax bracket, eliminating tax risk from your retirement picture. We're going to have David live here in just a moment. But before we get to Dave, I want to, I had the fortunate experience this weekend of celebrating with my family our grandmother's 90th birthday. So we all gathered over at Strawberry Acres there in Holland. And it was a collection of kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids, all of whom my grandmother was directly responsible for. So it was a great experience. We spent the afternoon reminiscing on Grandma's 90 years with us, and some of the more artsy folks in the family had prepared some collages with a bunch of different pictures of some of the more memorable moments. And so it was just a great afternoon of remembering. But it was interesting because a good portion of those memories and pictures that we were enjoying, they almost didn't happen. See, it was in 1991. My grandma had a severe brain aneurysm, and it had gotten to the point where her doctors were giving her just a few hours to live. So they had called the family in to say those final goodbyes. And see, what the doctors didn't know and what God and grandma had different ideas, and here we are 23 years later, still enjoying and making new memorable moments like the ones we did yesterday. So last evening, I couldn't help but reflect back on the day. And my mind kind of quickly shifted to my grandma's her own retirement journey. You know, her journey has been filled with lessons that we talk about on this show each and every week. So before we get to our guest today, I wanted to share a little bit more of her story and the important lessons that we can take from her journey. My grandma didn't work outside the home, which was kind of typical for her day and age. She instead opted for the most noblest of work and spent her time raising my mother and her sister, so raising two girls. My grandfather, he worked at a tool in the tool and die industry, and at the age of 60, he was offered a buyout from that company. My grandma was 9 years younger than my grandpa, so here she is only at the age of 51, and they're making this decision of whether now is the right time to retire or not. They ultimately did decide to take that buyout, so at the ages of 60 and 51, their life in retirement began. So, yeah, that's right. If you do the math quickly, she's been living in retirement now for 39 years. So they retired with a pension from the Tool and Die Company, my grandfather's Social Security retirement benefit, even though he wasn't quite eligible for it at that point because he was only 60, but he was just a few years away from being eligible for that. My grandmother's Social Security spousal benefit. So you've heard us talk about this on the show. Even though she did not have her own Social Security earnings as the spouse of someone who did, she is eligible for a Social Security spousal benefit. Given her age, however, there was a few years that had to pass before she would be able to begin collecting that. But then they also did have a lump of sum of money that they had accumulated over those years, plus that buyout that they got from the Tool and Die Company. So they entered into retirement thinking of the pension, two different Social Security incomes coming in, one from my grandfather, one from my grandmother, and then this lump sum of assets that they've accumulated. And those funds and those sources of income, they enabled them to go out and live out that retirement lifestyle that they had desired. They started out as Florida snowbirds before they ultimately decided to move down to Florida full-time. And things were going just according to plan. but see, things quickly changed 23 years ago. My grandfather was diagnosed with brain cancer and passed away shortly after. And as I had already mentioned, my grandma had a brain aneurysm right around that same time. She survived, but she needed assistance on a daily basis. Those expenses of dealing with her long-term illness quickly wiped away that lump sum of money that they had entered into retirement with that they were so depending on to support that lifestyle. See, my grandparents' plan did not address these what-ifs. After entering into retirement with two Social Security benefits, a pension, and a lump sum of money, my grandma has now been a widow for 23 years, living on just my grandfather's Social Security and that pension. Her story, though, does highlight the importance of having those guaranteed lifetime income sources that are provided through Social Security, pensions, and possibly annuities if you have them. This is the financial foundation for your retirement, and because we know that it will stand the time just as it has done so for my grandmother. You know, going back to that date when they decided to take that early retirement, they made the decision at that point that they were also going to be taking that Social Security benefit early. You can begin those Social Security benefits as early as age 62. So to provide for that retirement lifestyle that they wanted, they filed for those benefits when they were first eligible. Now, there's some consequences to doing that. By doing that, they did accept a reduced benefit amount that is reduced for the rest of your lifetime. You know, given that my grandfather was the worker and the higher earner of the two, his benefit was so important to the long-term financial picture for them. So by accepting that reduced amount, it's much more than just looking at his lifetime and what those benefits were over his lifetime. See, as the survivor, my grandmother stepped into the shoes of my grandfather's retirement benefit. So she has been accepting that reduced payment now for 23 years. So if you just looked at my grandfather's life expectancy or my grandfather's lifetime, filing for those benefits seems like it would have made sense. By taking that reduced amount, he got more payments, and because he didn't live a long life, he got more over his lifetime, but the protection to his surviving spouse, which would have been extremely important to him, if anyone that knew him would know this, he would have gladly foregone a few years of payments to get a larger benefit for his surviving spouse, who has now lived 23 years as a widow. So when I look back, you know, it's somewhat frustrating for me when I reflect on their situation. You know, where was their advocate that could have helped them make more informed decisions about their finances? Where was their advisor that could have helped them understand and prepare for those risks of what living a 39-plus year retirement, that risk of longevity, 39-plus years of making your assets last and still going, that risk of the long-term illness and how that's going to impact the financial picture, the impact of the income when the first spouse passes away. So instead of having those four sources of income, they're down to just two. And again, how that filing for Social Security benefits early, how that impacts the survivor benefit that my grandmother has now been receiving that reduced amount for 23 years. See, being an investment advisor is so much more than just picking stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, which ones are the right ones to buy. You know, maybe that was good enough in the old days, but the stakes are so much higher for today's retirees. At our company, Citizen Advisory Group, we work hard and have a passion for guiding individuals successfully to and then through their retirements. We work hard to make sure that we are equipped with the proper knowledge and expertise and the tools that we need to give guidance in such an important area. And, you know, I wish I could have been there for my grandparents back when they were planning for their retirement and given them the tools and knowledge that they needed to make the very best decisions for them at that time. You know, I realize I can't go back and do that, but it's our mission to do that for each and every family that we come in contact with today. To assist with that, we do have workshops each and every month to provide important information for you to consider in regards to your retirement journey. So whether you're just getting started or you've been along this path for many years, it's our pleasure to help, and we'd love to have you. So if you'd like some information about our events that are coming up, you can just pick up the phone and call us at the office at 419-872-0204, or we have a complete list of all those events on the web at citizenadvisory.com. But you know, one big part of this whole planning process for your retirement is how you're going to deal with the tax man. So to give us some great insights on this topic today, I'm super excited to be joined by Mr. David McKnight. David is the author of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The Power of Zero, and contributes regularly to a number of national magazines on the subject of tax-free retirement. He has a popular and nationally recognized workshop, The Power of Zero, and has been seen by thousands of Americans from coast to coast. David has also trained thousands of advisors on his tax-free paradigm. Mr. David McKnight, welcome to Retirement Journey.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, I'm super excited to have you with us here today because I think this is a topic that is so greatly overlooked when we're making decisions about how and where we should be saving our money. So super glad to have you here, Dave. Tell us just a little bit about you and what kind of led you to the financial world and to this Power of Zero concept.
Well, believe it or not, I came into the financial industry straight out of college. I have never known any other profession other than financial advising. So I've been doing this for about going on 17 years now, and it's interesting that the year in which I came into the profession, 1997, was also the same year in which Bill Clinton came before the nation in his State of the Union and says, "Hey, I've got good news. I'm here to tell you that the national debt is simply zero." And he was right. Back in 1997, the national debt was zero.
Oh, how things have changed.
Yeah, it's so interesting to see what's happened between 1997 and 2014. Here we are just 17 years later, and the national debt has ballooned to $17.5 trillion with no real end in sight, spiraling out of control. So it's interesting to see what can happen to a nation with their profligate spending over a mere 17 years.
Well, and so there's certainly going to be some consequences that the future retirees are going to be faced with and dealing with that. And that's kind of the whole concept of the book on how you can take control of your tax situation today and eliminate the tax man from your picture. David, we're at a break. We're going to get into some of the details on your plan on how to avoid the tax man when we get back. This is Retirement Journey on 1370 WSPD.
Jeff Bucher here. So glad you tuned in to Retirement Journey.
Toledo's News, Weather, and Traffic Station, 1370 WSPD. And you're listening to Retirement Journey, and I'm your host today, Kevin Bucher, filling in for your normal host, Jeff. And today, we're talking with David McKnight, the author of The Power of Zero. So, David, we barely got going here before the last break. But so, Dave, basically, when we think about where we're positioning our dollars, as far as our savings dollars, there's a couple different types of accounts that we have some options there. So kind of walk us through those different types of accounts.
Sure, you bet. We know there's millions of different types of investments out there, but all of those investments basically fit into only three types of accounts. I call them buckets of money. The first bucket that I talk about in my book is what we call the taxable bucket. And the taxable bucket is every year as this investment grows, you get to pay taxes on it. We're all familiar with these types of investments. They're, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, CDs, money markets, savings accounts. How can you tell if you have a taxable investment? Well, you get that little love letter at the end of each year from the financial institution. It's called a 1099. It says, hey, your money grew this much. Now you got to give a portion of that growth back to the IRS in the form of taxes. So generally speaking, these are the least efficient of all of our investments from a tax efficiency perspective, because every year as they grow, they get paid, you got to pay tax. There is a kind of a silver lining for this bucket, and that's that these investments are very liquid, which means you can convert them to cash very easily, which means that they make for great emergency funds.
Right. So your point here is that it might not be the most tax efficient vehicle, but there still is a place for this in your overall picture because it does fill a certain need.
It's absolutely indispensable. In fact, financial experts, the one thing they can agree upon is that you should have about 6 months' worth of basic income necessity in there, but you shouldn't have any more because it's a very inefficient place to grow money. But it's interesting. We see people all the time. I see the couple that lived through the Depression. They shuffle into my office and they say, "Dave, I got 9 CDs. For $100,000 each in 9 different banks, and we can't figure out why we're paying so much in tax." And this is the type of thing that knocks me clean out of my chair, because these types of folks have way too much money in their taxable bucket. And there's ways that you can get those dollars repositioned into places that grow much more efficiently.
Right, so this would be the opposite of a tax-efficient plan.
That's exactly right. The second type of bucket that is probably the most common that we see, and this is the kind of the bucket that we've all been inculcated over the years to accumulate the lion's share of our savings in, is what we call the tax-deferred bucket. These are things like 401ks, IRAs, 403bs, 457s, so on and so forth. These are great because you do get a tax deduction, okay, as you're putting those dollars in, but what you're doing is you're postponing the payment of those taxes until some point much further down the road. Now, we've all been kind of weaned on this notion that when we retire, taxes will be substantially lower than we were during our working years. There's a couple of flaws in that paradigm. The first flaw is that, number one, there's a lot of experts out there that think that tax rates are going to double in the next 10 to 15 years. I like to talk about a guy named David Walker. David Walker is what we call the Comptroller General of the federal government. So he's not someone that is not good at math. I mean, he's very good at math. He's in the CPA Hall of Fame. He was on the board of Social Security for 7 years. He was basically the CPA of the federal government for 10 years. And he took one look at the situation. He said, look, we have promised way more than we can afford to keep for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. He says, in order to be able to deliver on these three promises alone, we would have to double taxes immediately. And he said this back in 2008. He says, you know what, you don't have to double taxes immediately, but for every year that you postpone doubling taxes, the national debt will grow on average about $3 trillion per year, every year till it tops out at about $53 trillion. That's pretty significant, because a nation that has $53 trillion of debt, you know, all of the tax revenue coming in at that point would only be enough to pay the interest on all that debt, let alone any principal, let alone a single dollar of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. So we've got some pretty significant fiscal challenges, and a lot of experts agree, including the CBO, that if tax rates don't go up in the next 10 years, we could go bankrupt as a country. So this is pretty pretty significant, because most Americans, in fact, 95% of the people I see, have the lion's share of their retirement savings in the tax-deferred vehicle, which means they haven't paid the tax yet.
Yeah, and I would second that. You know, I think it's very common with the individuals that we begin working with that this is the retirement vehicle of choice. And in a lot of instances, this is the only savings vehicle that is being utilized. But it's not given a whole lot of thought. So when I ask people, you know, so you're utilizing the 401k or the IRA, why are you using that and exclusively that? The answer I get is it's not really surprising, but it's the easiest place for them to save their dollars. So I would assume that you probably encounter that as well, that it's set up through the employer. It's kind of on autopilot. So it's just they're following the herd, and that's where all the dollars are being saved, is in those 401k and IRA plans.
Yeah, and it's out of mind and out of sight. And frankly, as Americans, we're addicted to that tax deduction. Okay. The thing that we forget, however, is that when we get the tax deduction today, we're getting the tax deduction at historically low tax rates. We're getting it at a period in our lives when we have lots of deductions, and we're postponing the payment of those taxes until some point further down the road, where there's a kind of a substantial likelihood that taxes could be higher. You don't have nearly as many deductions as you did during your working years. In fact, most people, when they retire, don't have any deductions left. All they have left is a standard deduction and a personal exemption, which in today's dollars is about $21,000. So, you know, your house is paid off, your kids have moved out, you're no longer contributing to your 401k or IRA. You're maybe not contributing as much charitably. Maybe you're contributing time as opposed to money. So what we find is that all of those deductions that you experienced during your working years literally vanish into thin air right when you need them the very most, which is at retirement. So you couple that with the likelihood that tax rates in the future will be much higher than they are today. It's just a ticking time bomb. So, you know, there's almost $15 trillion in the cumulative 401ks and IRAs of Americans, and the IRS is simply sitting back and waiting for the chance to take their share. And what is their fair share? It's hard to say unless we can accurately predict what tax rates are going to be when we decide to take those dollars out in retirement. It's really hard to say how much of those dollars really are. It's kind of like going into a business partnership with the IRS, and every year the IRS gets a vote on what percentage of your profits they get to keep. Doesn't sound like a very fair business partnership to me.
No, and that is that's actually the phraseology that we use in our practice, that those 401k accounts, those IRA accounts, those are partnerships between you and Uncle Sam. And you can have some control over how much of your business that you're going to give to Uncle Sam by planning this out ahead of time. So that's one of the more surprising things, and I think it's one of the areas that as an advisor we can provide tremendous value, is looking forward at what this tax situation is going to look like once you get into retirement, because that, quite frankly, is just not being done. We're looking at today's impact of saving that dollar into the 401k without really a very clear understanding at all of what's going to be required once we get to that age of 70, when the Uncle Sam steps in and says, all right, our partnership, it's time for me to start reaping my rewards.
That's right. You know, the number one question we get from people when I do my workshop or when they come into my office, is they say, am I too old to start repositioning to this third bucket that we talk about? And the third bucket is what we call the tax-free bucket. In the tax-free bucket, there's only two qualifications that we look for in the tax-free bucket, and that's number one, it's got to really be tax-free. And when I say tax-free, I'm talking free from every kind of tax, free from federal tax, free from state tax, free from capital gains tax. We've been told, for example, that municipal bonds are tax-free. Well, they truly are only tax-free from a federal perspective, but they're not necessarily free from a state tax or capital gains tax perspective. The second thing, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit later in the program, is that when you take money out of a true tax-free account, you've got to it cannot count as provisional income, which is the type of income the IRS keeps track of to determine if your Social Security is going to be taxed. So a true tax-free investment does not cause your Social Security to be taxed. So this third bucket, true tax-free investments, people ask me all the time, is it too late to shift into tax-free investments? And the real answer to that question is, when 2023 rolls around, and that's kind of a date that David Walker in the Congressional Budget Office has kind of identified as a do-or-die sort of a date for our country, if we don't raise taxes or substantially slash spending, meaning you're going to get less Social Security and less Medicare, if one of those two things doesn't happen by 2023, we go bankrupt as a nation. And this is not something that politicians in Washington like to talk about, because, they call it the dirty little secret in Washington. It's a four-letter word, and it's math, M-A-T-H. David Walker has famously said that math is the reason why tax rates have to double. So 2023 rolls around, and tax rates double or rise substantially. Will you, as a retiree, look back on the year of 2014 and say, gosh, why did I not take advantage of tax rates while they were historically low? Because all tax rates have to do in the future is go up by 1% for this type of shifting or repositioning the tax-free investments for that to make sense. So we try to make it clear that there's some urgency to getting dollars repositioned to the tax-free account.
Right. So we just want to be proactive in dealing with the tax man as opposed to just sitting back and waiting for him to turn around and kick us in the pants. I think we're at a good point to take a quick little break, but when we come back, I want to get back to that topic of how is Social Security benefits taxed? How are they taxed, and how can you set yourself up to where they're not going to be taxed? This is Retirement Journey on 1370 W.
Make sure you have your map and compass. The Retirement Journey will be full of surprises.
This is 1370 WSPD, and this is Retirement Journey, and I'm your host today, Kevin Bucher, and today we're very excited to have with us Mr. David McKnight, the author of The Power of Zero, How to Get Yourself into a 0% Tax Situation in Retirement. One thing I think is important to kind of to clarify here, Dave, we're not talking about having a retirement where you don't have any income. We're talking about having an abundance of income, the income you need, but just avoiding the taxes.
That's right. Yeah, no one's suggesting that you, force yourself into poverty just so you can get into the 0% tax bracket. When you have your dollars positioned in just the right places in retirement, it's possible to have a very robust stream of income flowing into your lives, just not on the IRS's radar. So, I tell people all the time, the reason why the 0% tax bracket is so powerful is because if tax rates double, 2 times 0 is still zero. So really the only way to truly insulate yourself from being, from the impact of higher taxes down the road is to put yourself in the 0% tax bracket. That doesn't mean that you are living the life of a pauper. It simply means you've accumulated your dollars in the right types of accounts.
All right. So we're talking about controlling your taxable income. Later on in the show, I want to kind of get to an example of a case that I just finished completing where we were able to do just that. But before the break, we started talking briefly, Dave, about Social Security benefits and how they're taxed. And one thing I like to point out to folks was we're doing some Social Security planning is this provisional income concept that you mentioned, and we'll go into more detail there. But the thing to be aware of is that $1 of a distribution from your IRA or that 401k account could be causing $1 of your Social Security benefit to be taxed. So that $1 distribution could be being taxed twice.
No question. Let me make a quick comment here. And I'm so glad you brought this up because, you know, I present to retirees and to financial advisors across the country. And I routinely ask the question, who's heard of provisional income? None of the retirees that I ever talked to, maybe less than 5%, have heard of provisional income, but you would be shocked how few financial advisors have heard of provisional income, which really is almost malpractice because, you know, I would say that more than half of retirees are going to have their Social Security taxed, and if your Social Security is taxed, you know, the average person will lose maybe $6,000 to $8,000 of their Social Security. This is a big deal because you now have a $6,000 to $8,000 hole in your Social Security, and how do most people go about plugging that hole? Well, they have to spend more money out of their IRAs and 401ks just to compensate. So, you know, I've done the math 100 times on 100 different clients in 100 different ways. And what I found, and this is going to shock you, when your Social Security gets taxed, it forces you to run out of money 5 years faster on average than not having your Social Security taxed. So I bring it up with every single workshop that I do, every single advisor I see, every single retiree I meet with. If your Social Security gets taxed, it will have a dramatic impact on your retirement. And so it's incredibly important that people recognize that provisional income is the type of income the IRS keeps track of to determine that, you know, whether your Social Security gets taxed or not. It's also very important to recognize that a true tax-free investment, when you take dollars out of this type of account, does not cause your Social Security to be taxed, does not count against those thresholds that the IRS is keeping track of. It's important to also recognize that any growth that you experience in your taxable bucket counts towards that provisional income threshold. Any distributions out of your tax-deferred bucket counts towards that provisional income threshold. And for a married couple, that the thresholds that we have to worry about are $32,000 and $44,000. If your income, your provisional income is greater than $32,000, 50% of your Social Security will be taxed at your highest marginal tax bracket. If your provisional income is greater than $44,000, 85% of your Social Security will be taxed at your highest marginal tax bracket. And keep in mind, pensions count towards provisional income, as does one half of your Social Security. So it's not very hard to get past that provisional income threshold. And by the way, any required minimum distributions count as provisional income. And so you have to be very, very careful about the amount of money that you have in those first two buckets, taxable and tax deferred.
Right, so kind of just pulling that all together, Social Security benefits start as tax-free.
That's right.
And the decisions that we make in the savings phase of our life as far as where we decide to make our contributions, whether it's that taxable account, that tax-deferred account, or the tax-free account, will then ultimately decide if we're going to pay tax on the Social Security benefits. So we have some control over this whole paradigm of the future of taxes.
That's right. In fact, I tell people all the time, if you want your Social Security to be tax-free, there is a mathematically perfect amount of money to have in your taxable bucket. And we've talked about this as 6 months worth of income. But there's also a mathematically perfect amount to have in your tax-deferred bucket. And what we want to have happen in your tax-deferred bucket, if Social Security is to be tax-free, is we want required minimum distributions when you reach 70 and a half, we want those to be so low that they keep you below that provisional income threshold. Everything else, by definition, should spill over into the tax-free bucket.
Well, you know, that's what's so great about your book, Dave, is it lays out this big picture, but then it also gives you the direct path to how to get yourself in this 0% tax situation in retirement as far as how many dollars should be allocated to each of these buckets and not go over. So, you know, it's a great aspect of the book. So going back to this overall tax situation, you mentioned a couple good points there. the taxable income, we're going to have some deductions in retirement, but for most retirees, it falls back to that standard deduction and the personal exemption limit, so or the deduction.
Right.
So that really gives us the target for what we need to have in that tax-deferred account.
Yep, and for most people, if you don't have a pension, I'd say that you only want to have between $300,000 to $400,000 in that tax-deferred bucket, because if that's the amount that you have in there, then required minimum distributions alone will keep you below standard deductions and personal exemption, and will probably also keep you below the point where your Social Security gets taxed. Everyone's different, so I can only ballpark that number, because your Social Security may be higher, you may have a pension, so on and so forth. But yeah, mathematically speaking, there is the perfect amount of money to have in that tax-deferred bucket. And the problem with most financial advisors I see out there is they don't ever want to bring up this whole discussion of what's the perfect amount of money to have in the tax-deferred bucket. Because if we start convincing our clients that tax rates in the future are going to be higher than they are today, they may just feel compelled to shift that money to the tax-free bucket. And since most financial advisors out there get paid by how much of your money they are managing, a lot of financial advisors are very reluctant to even bring this discussion up, because if you have, say, $1 million in your tax-deferred bucket, you shift it to your tax-free bucket, you pay, say, 25% tax along the way, they're now only managing $750,000, which means they're not making as much money. So most large financial planning institutions, wealth management institutions, don't want to touch this discussion, Kevin, that you and I are having today. They don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole, because that's not how they get paid. They don't get paid on how much money you get to spend. They get paid on how much money they're managing. I don't care so much, you know, how much money you have. What I care about is how much you get to spend, and Social Security plays a huge role in that, because if you're losing a third of your Social Security to taxation, then it's causing you to run out of money a lot faster than you thought.
Yeah, so if you're just tuning in today, you're listening to Retirement Journey, and I'm your host, Kevin Bucher, and we're talking with David McKnight. He is the author of the book, The Power of Zero, which is all about how to position your assets to keep yourself in a 0% tax situation in retirement. So, Dave, such a neglected area, and I think it goes back to something that I mentioned at the beginning of the show in the open, that the role of an investment advisor, I think that there needs to be a shift in how financial advisors are perceived. It's not just about picking which stocks, bonds, mutual funds to go out and buy. So the consumer needs to start looking at us in a little different light. We really need to be able to offer value in all different types of areas, including this one, which is so important, how to position your assets best from a tax situation. So it's not just about what stock to go buy. It's about assisting you with healthcare decisions. It's about assisting you with good Social Security decisions. It's about how to position your assets to avoid as much of the tax as you can. For today's investors, there's so much more than just picking the right stocks and mutual funds.
You know, I really like the story you told at the opening of your, with your grandmother. You know, there are so many different risks out there, so many different threats that could really upset our financial apple cart in retirement. Tax rate risk is certainly one of them, but you talked about, you know, a long-term care risk. You know, this is something that we talk about all the time. It's, you know, you could be at the 0% tax bracket. You could have all your, you know, dollars positioned perfectly in the right types of accounts, but then have some sort of a long-term care event that forces you into spend down, makes your wife or husband become what we call a community-based spouse, and then they're subsisting on what we call a minimum monthly, needs allowance, which is a lot less than you really think. The government doesn't let you keep all that much money before they force you to start, forcing you into spend down. So there's all sorts of risks that you have to talk about, and that's why it's not just finding a money manager. It's not just finding someone who's trying to make your money grow. You've got to hedge against all these different risks that can really upset your financial apple cart in retirement.
Right. You really need to work with a very well-rounded planner who has the experience and knowledge in all of those different topics there. So, Dave, you know, we went through the different types of accounts. We talked about the contributions into that tax-deferred account and trying to limit those to a level that's going to allow for your deductions in retirement to wipe away those required distributions out of them. But what if you're saving more than what that target would be? So you've got some savings going into the tax deferred, and you're not encouraging people not to do that. And there's a lot of reasons to contribute into those 401k plans, and especially if you're getting a match. But Where does the additional savings then go? So what are our options for when we go above and beyond that?
Yeah, so you're right. You know, you put in up to the standard deduction. You put in up to the match in your 401k, but not a penny above and beyond. I mean, this is one thing that, you know, Clark Howard, Susie Orman, Dave Ramsey, they can actually agree upon, is that put in up to the match, but not a penny above and beyond. There's also ways to get money into the tax-free bucket. One of them, of course, is a Roth 401k. Not all employers offer Roth 401ks. We certainly recommend that people have those or take advantage of those types of vehicles if the employer offers it. But if you make less than about $190,000 of adjusted gross income, you can contribute to a Roth IRA. If you're over 50 years old, that's $6,500 per person, or $13,000 per couple. You can certainly do Roth conversions where you start to reposition, rearrange these dollars into tax-free vehicles. But sometimes, notwithstanding all of our efforts, we just don't have enough tax-free vehicles to take advantage of. And one of the things I talk about in Chapter 5 of my book is what we call the LIRP, or what we call the Life Insurance Retirement Plan. It's not for everyone, but certainly where it is the right fit, it can be very, very powerful and very, very effective. The Life Insurance Retirement Plan basically takes advantage of Section 7202 of the IRS tax code, which says that if you buy as little life insurance as the IRS requires of you and stuff as much money into it as the IRS allows you to, you can actually create an account that mimics a Roth IRA without the contribution limits, meaning you can put as much money as you want in and without the income limitation. So even if you're retired or you make too much money, you can put as much money as you want into this, what we call the LIRP.
Dave, I want to come back to this concept of the life insurance as being part of your retirement plan. So we're right at the breaking point here. But when we come back, I want to go into some of the nuts and bolts of what you just mentioned, the LIRP. This is Retirement Journey on 1370 WSPD.
When you go on a trip, do you just take a bag of money to the airport, or do you plan ahead?
This is Toledo's News, Weather, and Traffic Station, 1370 WSPD, and you're listening to Retirement Journey, and I'm hosting for you today, Kevin Bucher. I'm filling in for your normal host, Jeff Bucher. Today we've got a special guest on, David McKnight, the author of The Power of Zero. And before we went to the break, we touched a little bit on this tax-free bucket of account type where we can put some money in for a tax-free. So you got your Roth IRA, the Roth 401k. One of the challenges there's some limitations on how you can get the funds into those accounts. So what, Dave, you started to mention was this life insurance retirement plan, the LIRP, where you can actually use life insurance policy to fund some retirement benefits for yourself. Now, what I want to jump in here is we see this concept occasionally come through our office where an individual has this life insurance policy. And it was supposed to be set up for that purpose, where when they purchased it, they remember their agent telling them that, so when you get to retirement, you should be able to get X amount of income from the policy. But unfortunately, what we see most often with this type of strategy, it was set up to have improper funding for it to accomplish the outcome that the agent was kind of predicting that it would have. So this is certainly a valid idea and concept, but it has to be structured properly to provide the benefits. So just walk us through a little bit what a properly structured life insurance retirement plan would look like.
Sure. So first of all, most people, when they think about life insurance, what do they try to do? They try to buy as much life insurance as they possibly can for as little money as they can, possibly spend. It's called term insurance. You hear it all the time. You hear, quote Smith on the radio, we can give you $1 million for $50 a month or what have you.
Okay, so if death benefit is the priority, that's the proper approach, right? We want to get the most amount of benefit for the least cost, but that's not what we're talking about here.
That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about doing the opposite. We're talking about buying as little life insurance as the IRS requires of you and putting as much money into it as the IRS allows you to. Okay, and the goal here is to try to mimic a Roth IRA without the limitations traditionally imposed upon the Roth IRA. So, for example, a Roth IRA allows you to do $6,500 a year if you're over age 50. I've got clients who do $50 a month into their LIRPs, but I also have clients that do $200,000 per year. And these are the types of accounts that are appropriate for people that, number one, have maxed out their Roth IRAs. But number two, let's go back to that taxable bucket. let's say that the perfect amount of money in that taxable bucket for you is $50,000. That represents 6 months worth of income. But let's say you, for whatever reason, have $300,000. You either were a great saver or you inherited a lot of money and you've got $300,000 in that taxable bucket. Well, now we've got to reposition those dollars to tax-free. And if all we're doing is doing $13,000 at a pop into your Roth IRA, it's like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. It's having very little impact. What the LIRP allows you to do is it allows you to get much more robust repositionings of assets into the tax-free bucket. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm approaching retirement. The kids have moved out. My house is paid off. I don't really have this burning desire for life insurance. And that's the interesting part, is that the companies that sponsor these programs, they understand that, they recognize that. So they've done something to sweeten the pot for this retiring, you know, generation of baby boomers. They simply say that in the event that somewhere down the road you should need long-term care, they will actually give you your death benefit while you're alive for the purpose of paying for long-term care. So these policies have been re-engineered to be kind of cash accumulators on a tax-free basis, but also to have this long-term care benefit that 70% of retiring baby boomers are going to need at some point in their life.
Right, so it's covering two risks for you at the same time. And, you know, going back to my grandma's situation, had this type of policy been available for her, it probably would have been a really good fit. Because, you know, one of the big drawbacks to purchasing the long-term care insurance would be, I may never use it. But we pretty much have a pretty high certainty that at some point we will pass away and the life insurance proceeds will kick in for you.
That's right. I mean, there's a lot of people, and we run into this a lot, you know, all the time. Traditional long-term care insurance is a source of heartburn for a lot of people. Why? Because, number one, it's not cheap. You know, you could be looking at $5,000 to $7,000 to get a policy that covers you and your spouse. Number two, they don't guarantee that those rates won't go up in the future. We're still relatively young in this whole long-term care industry, and they don't have a real good track record in terms of predicting what the indemnity is going to be, so they're constantly raising rates. Number three, it's very hard to qualify for. If you have a bad knee or a bad back or what have you, they could not accept you. And finally, you could pay for 20 years, die peaceful in your sleep, never having needed the long-term care, and they're not going to send you your money back. So there's this sensation with traditional long-term care insurance. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have traditional long-term care insurance. I'm just saying that there are upside and downside to traditional long-term care insurance. But this whole idea that you're paying for something that you hope you never have to use, that can be tough. It's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people. Where the LIRP is a little bit different is that if you do die peacefully in your sleep 20 years from now, never having needed the long-term care, someone's still getting a death benefit, so there isn't the sensation that you paid for something that you never end up using.
Well, Dave, it's been absolutely fabulous having you here on the show with us today. There's so much more we could get into. We're going to have you back at some point. But before I let you go today, we've got the book, The Power of Zero. Well, how can people get their hands on this book?
The Power of Zero is available only through Amazon.com. Just punch in The Power of Zero. You can buy it as a paperback. You can buy it on Kindle, or you can even buy the audio version on Audible. That's all available through Amazon.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dave. And we look forward to having you on another time.
Thanks. It was my pleasure.
Well, we're at a quick break, but when we come back, is it really possible to pay 0% in tax in the future? We're going to take a quick look at a little case study and show you just how that actually happens. This is Retirement Journey on 1370 WSPD.
Booker of Citizen Advisory Group, your financial travel agent for the best journey of your life.
1370 WSPD, this is Retirement Journey, and you know, just a great topic we had today. It's just so important to look out into the future in regards to what your future tax situation is going to look like. You know, we want to manage our tax situation on an annual basis, but we need to understand what those long-term implications are going to be of the decisions that we're making today. So before the break, I mentioned that we were going to look at a case study that we recently worked on for a couple that's entering into retirement, and how we were able to get them into that 0% tax bracket. Their situation is pretty typical of what we see. So, you know, we forecasted out to the age of 70 and what their retirement was going to look like. So one of the things that we were hoping to achieve with them is to put together a Social Security strategy that would maximize the higher earners' benefits. So as I mentioned with my grandmother, That's so important because that's what protects the survivor from a Social Security standpoint. So by delaying the higher earner Social Security benefits at the age of 70, we were looking at about $60,000 a year of Social Security benefits for this couple. Given the amount of money that they've accumulated and where they've accumulated it, their required distributions from those retirement accounts are going to be another $13,500-ish. So that's just an assumption based on today's values. So that puts them at $75,000, just short of $75,000 of income in retirement, which is certainly not a small chunk of money. But because of how Social Security is taxed, their taxable income in that situation is $0, which greatly reduces their risk to the future increases in taxes. 0% retirement. That's exactly what the book is about. Thank you so much for listening today. I encourage you to go out and get that book from Dave McKnight, The Power of Zero. It's a short read, but it's got so much great information in it. Next week, we're going to have Wayne Allen Root back on. He's the capitalist evangelist and the author of the soon-to-be-released Murder of the Middle Class. Thank you so much again. This is Retirement Journey on 1370 WSPD.
The content on this paid program show is for educational and entertainment purposes only and not intended to be used as legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with the appropriate professional before making any financial decisions. Investment advisory services are offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, and Citizen Advisory Group, LTD, are independent entities.
SPD.